Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of No Highway Option. It's the cinema podcast where we answer the one question that applies to every movie ever made. Is it better or worse than Vin Diesel's 2005 seminal masterpiece, The Pacifier? I'm one of your hosts, Connor J. Burke, and I think I would come in a solid third to last if I ran the Iditarod. Not if I ran, if I was the musher. If I ran itself, I would, of course, lose.
I'm your other host, Luke, and
I think I might do better in the Iditarod if I was running it than if I was with the dogs, because I'm not convinced that I'd be able to get control of anything.
It's understandable. And we have a special guest with us today. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, of course. I'm Bryce Porter. I am a videographer in Rochester. I went to film school, so I am educated enough to talk about especially wonderful 2002 Disney family comedies about Alaska. And I think I would kick ass at this race. Not only because I'm good with dogs, but because the cold does not affect me. And if I had to bunker down for a storm, I would just keep going. I'm that much of a, that awesome.
All right. Confidence. Well, in case you didn't realize by our opening bits, the movie we got today, given to us by Lon last week, is the 2002 Cuba Gooding Jr. comedy, Snow Dogs, or as I liked to call it when I found out what it was, Kangaroo Jack, but cold.
Oh, man. I think that's too mean.
But, like, I mean, plot-wise, it's not...
Why'd you say that? I didn't think about it until just now, but you're absolutely right. It's that weird mix of like early 2000 comedies where it's like, let's take a person who likes this and put them in this place. Oh man, you're absolutely right.
It's similar vibes. Do any of you have history with Snow Dogs?
I had seen it. I remembered not especially liking it. And I liked it more than I remembered.
Yeah, I watched it when I was young, too. My babysitter had a plethora of movies, and this was one of them. And I remember really liking this one. And I lived up to the hype when I watched it again. I really liked it.
I don't remember seeing this. I might have seen bits and pieces on TV. What I remember is seeing the trailer for it before Monsters, Inc., and then, like, talking to my cousin, and I was like, yeah, before Monsters, Inc., they had this thing, and they were talking dogs. Like, do you remember that? And she was like, I didn't see Monsters, Inc. I'm like, but I thought everybody saw Monsters, Inc.
For some reason, I feel like I saw this movie instead of one of the Stuart Littles. Because, maybe it wasn't out yet, or...
That might line up. This was, what, an early 2002? January, February.
Yeah, I mean, it's either that or it's a Thanksgiving release.
Right.
I mean, it's that good for sure.
Yeah, January 18th, 2002, and the first Stuart Little was late 2001, I think, maybe.
So when was the sequel? Was that way later?
That might have been 02 or 03. It was really close to it. Hang on. Stuart Little 2 is 2002, but that came out in July, so I don't know.
I don't know. Could also be a fake memory.
Yeah. Your brain just put them together. It's like they both start with S. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s iconic walk probably erased your memory of all every other good movie you watch.
Cuba Gooding Jr., Academy Award winner, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, man, I love him.
He had so much promise. And he's coming back, kind of. He had that O.J. Simpson TV show that everyone said was really good.
I just I don't know if he's ever going to top Rod Tidwell for me. I love Jerry Maguire.
I mean, yeah, and like the Academy thinks so too.
Yeah, me and everybody's mom.
All right, do you guys want to start getting into the movie itself?
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
We can keep talking about family movie release dates if you want. All right, so we start out with the mark of quality for any film. They changed the logo up a little bit. It's the Disney logo, but it's cold.
Ooh,
got a little icicles on it. And we open in 1977 with our protagonist, Ted, visiting his dad for career day at the dentist's.
And that was weird, right?
It's cute, but it's a little weird.
Yeah, I thought it was strange because I figured it, this movie was like advertised as like, this dude hates dogs, but just wait for him to be with a bunch of dogs. And the way this movie opened, I figured he'd like hate being a dentist more than being a dog, you know, because it was like a gross out scene.
Yeah, because a lady's teeth are so bad, he almost barfs.
And oh, he that's does how barf.
We,
that's how we transition to modern times. But there's a few things. The way that camera angle is, does he barf in her mouth? I don't
know. He barfs into a trash can.
Okay, good. I was worried about that.
Yeah, it was a killer edit to like somebody jumping or to him jumping into a pool.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And it was a little weird that the dad was like, I'm the doctor, but my son, who is 9, is also the doctor.
Because people are like notoriously happy to be at the dentist and ready to joke around.
Yeah, just, like, I mean,
up, you know, mouth open, just like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Awesome. Your kid's going to touch my mouth? Cool.
Oh, you know how to make this scene better. You put Bill Murray from Little Shop in there. For professionalism that I respect. So during the opening credits, the type font, the A's are dog houses, the I's are dog bones, the O's are paws. I just wrote gross.
Yeah, it's like a staple of the time. Like people found out they could actually design the opening crawl, and they're like, oh, we got to do this on every movie. We got to
mess with this.
Yeah, I got to tell someone.
You got to put wingdings on your resume. Trust me. It'll get you jobs.
Early 2000, then it's going to land you everything you want.
We're in Miami in 2002, and we meet Ted is now the head doctor of the Hot Smile Dental Group.
I thought it said Shot Mile for the first time I saw it. Me and my wife were like, what does that say? We couldn't figure it out for a minute.
He's a dentist, so it smiles, and it's hot because it's Miami.
Ooh.
And it's kind of forgetting his dad's advice to have a personal touch.
I guess I didn't know any celebrity dentists. I don't know if that's a thing.
You've never been to Florida.
Florida. Florida is a different breed.
Yeah, it is. Every bus has it's like, this guy, you know, your local veterinarian. And you're like, cool. Who's this guy? I don't care.
There's a huge bus ad with a big smiling man, and it's like, Gary Johnson Funeral Homes, come on down.
You're not far off.
We also meet the dental assistant who just keeps screwing up, played by Cisco. His name's Rupert. He's a crazy guy.
That's how I knew where I was. When I saw Cisco, I was like, oh, yes, I'm 8 years old. It's 2002. I'm going to eat some Teddy Grahams. This is great. Cisco is like a important stamp in my life.
Ted Brooks is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s full name. And he's served with a will from someone in Alaska. Surprise, he's adopted. Cue the eyes in the back of the head rolling faint.
Oh, man. What a reveal. With the mother and her reactions.
Yeah. And what's with the guy who gives him the will? He comes in and has a long Spanish name and a thick, like, Spanish accent. And then he's like, are you dead? And he's like, yeah. He's like, cool, you've been served. And he just leaves. Like, he made up a character to give him jury summon.
He's, maybe he's Seth Rogen's character from Pineapple Express.
Was that what he did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He served people.
It's been so long since I've seen Pineapple Express. Mm. Ted finds out he's been adopted. His mother is somewhere in Alaska. Causes him to have a nightmare about being an Eskimo. He lives in a little igloo. The igloo's, there's a little mailbox that's an igloo.
Uh-huh.
And we're treated to cursed imagery.
Oh, my God.
A baby with Cuba Gooding Jr.'s full-grown head.
God, the George Lopez effect.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, This is a thing that a lot of 2000s movies did to, like, I mean, nowadays we have the de-aging thing, and then back then they were like, okay, let's de-age, but, like, just copy and paste a head. It'll look bad, and it'll be scary, but, like, you know, it's fine.
God, I know that child me went nuts when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, he's a baby.
Yeah. Adult me just wrote the word nightmare, like, before the scene ended.
Yeah, I wrote "ah" in all caps, and I don't even have to, you know, I don't have to say "baby" in the notes to know that that's what happened at that moment.
Yeah,
It reminds me of Mike Myers in The Love Guru when he's supposed to be a child and he just has a bulbous Mike Myers bobblehead.
Another classic.
For some reason, that one's funny when this one is scary. I don't know what it is.
You know, and it just shows that, like, floating head syndrome in movies hasn't been fixed now, because it looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was nightmare fuel, but so does, like, you know, like, all the Marvel's movies with floating head syndrome, too. It looked just like that. So it's like, wow, that's just an effect we could never do.
Yeah, we've improved on so many other things, but that, they're like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, especially that first Steve Rogers.
Yes. Oh, when he's skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, his body can't support that head. We get the beginning of Ted's story arc about hating dogs when he dumps water on the dog next door because it's barking.
Oh, poor what is Chester.
It? Chester.
Yeah. Little poodle.
Kind of it.
Yeah, that's it.
And, so Ted hops on a plane to Alaska, and then he has to take another plane to the small town of Tokultana. Did I pronounce it?
I don't know. I don't remember. I never wrote it down.
I might not be able to read my own handwriting, so let me...
It sounded like something, and then they added another letter in the middle for no reason. Unless it's really something, but I doubt it.
He was able to get it, like, laser perfect when he read the summons, though. And I was like, wow, that's impressive. I would have spent, like, 5 minutes in my head trying to bat it around before I said it.
Yeah.
There was, like, an important mark in this, though, that it's, like, it's not an early 2000s movie without a wacky airplane/airport scene. And that was, like, that scratched that itch, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
The triple threat line.
He has to take the ramshackle plane, the tiny plane flown by George, the eye patch wearing attorney/wheel executor/bush pilot, classic triple threat. But he almost misses it because he's staring at a dog sled racing champion, Olivier, who's dressed as Venom.
It's fitting because he's a cartoon villain in this movie.
He's not. Is he a villain? He doesn't do anything.
I don't. That scene where he's not feeding his dogs, but he's in a Be Our Guest tent eating crab legs.
Yeah, he's an asshole, but, like, he doesn't affect our heroes at all. He's just like, I'm here to win the race. And the movie's like, you should hate this guy. And it's like, what'd he do?
He drinks Powerade. Don't you hate him?
Yeah, well, that's not Gatorade. What an asshole.
He's that one line where Thunderjack leaves and he stands up and he's like, he's going to die, or whatever he says. I was like, oh, that seemed kind of shoehorned in there.
Ted steps off the plane. It's windy, which means time to play Flight of the Bumblebee.
Yeah. First instance of Funny Man Fall Down, which happens a lot in this movie.
First of many. And, Tolkienta. It's Tolkienta. Tolkienta is a teeny, it's a charming-looking little town. He goes into the local bar. He meets a whole bunch of weirdos. There's really crusty 2000s punks that are just there.
What was up with that? Why? What was up with all these characters? There was, like, a mix between, like, the dreadlock, like, goth clan in the corner, too. I was like, what is this?
Especially since you're trying to establish this little Alaska town that's in the middle of nowhere.
There was one guy in this bar who was just incredibly tall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He was in the left corner the whole time, every shot just in the upper left corner somehow, and I was just like, this guy's 8 foot. What's he doing here? I want to know about him.
That's Alaska for you. Bunch of characters.
And also, Brian Doyle Murray, Bill Murray's brother, is
Captain
there.
Knuckles.
That's what I was going to say, Flying Dutchman or Captain Knuckles. Yeah. I was like, I know that voice. In the bar, there's also a dog drinking beer.
Yeah, there which, is.
According to the IMDb trivia, let me see if I find it really quick, it is chicken broth.
Oh, yum. Mm.
Good treat for dog.
Yeah, it was like frothy on top, though. I wonder how they did it.
Yeah, that might have just been whipped cream.
Yuck. Hopefully not soap.
Yeah, that would have been bad for dog. Yeah, they're throwing knife darts. They're having a good time. There's bad coffee. And it's time for the will reading of...
What is it?
What?
That's what I want to know. What is in the coffee pot?
Bad coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she pours it and it, like, slip slides out of the, mug.
It is thick.
Thick coffee.
It's the consistency of, like, hot chocolate. Nope, hot.
It's like oil.
Yeah.
What am I... Hot fudge.
There you go.
Not hot chocolate.
Apparently, it's just bad, but I don't know. A hot fudge coffee doesn't sound terrible to me. Like, thick coffee?
Just a whole cup of hot fudge.
No, just like a thick coffee. Isn't that what the TikTok kids do now? The whipped coffee? Is that what that's like?
I don't know. I saw a kid make a coffee, but instead of water, he used a Red Bull.
That's what the TikTok kids are doing.
Our future.
I was concerned.
During the reading of Ted's mother's will, we meet Thunder Jack, played by James Coburn. He's called that because he was hit by thunder twice, which I thought was a great joke until Cuba was like, you can't get hit by thunder. I'm like, come on, man. We all know that.
Yeah. I love when he comes in, the punk guy's like, zip your lip, it's Thunder Jack. I love that line so much. So stupid.
I also thought that was Thunder Jack was, or getting struck by thunder, was somehow going to lead into Cuba Gooding Jr. making an AC/DC joke, and it never happened.
Oh, that was such low-hanging fruit.
I know, I'm kind of proud of them for not doing it.
The smallest part of me wanted, after Thunder Jack showed up and they made such a huge deal about it, to never see him again.
He was just the town legend.
Right.
In the will, Thunder Jack is left an outhouse, and Ted gets pretty much everything. Lucy, who's Ted's birth mom, she didn't have much, but she did race in the Arctic Challenge a lot, and she has multiple dogs. The first one that Ted meets is named Nana, and she's a good girl.
Yeah, my heart goes out to Nana.
There's a whole bunch. Ted's scared of all of them. There's, like, Demon, Scooper. There's not a list of the names.
Diesel,
I did make a big deal out of Diesel. So this was a good pick. I wonder if they're listed in the cast.
This is a good bunch of dogs, man.
It is. Nana, Demon, Mac, Diesel, Duchess, Digger, Yodel, Sniff.
Sniff was another one. I don't understand how you can be like, you can even pretend to come in there and be like, oh, I hate this. You see those dogs.
And you know who the voice of Demon was in the dream sequence?
It was Jim Belushi, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jim Belushi. I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah. No, that, you know, I watched the trailer for this movie before we watched it, and it was like, it was a blast from the past, first of all. It was like every 2000s trailer you've ever seen. But they played it up to, like, it's a talking dog movie. Like, I was so excited for it to be a talking dog movie.
Kangaroo Jack, but
it was not a talking dog movie at all. They had weird, like, moments where they winked and it was strange looking, but no talking dogs. Only once with a dream sequence.
Yeah, there's a lot of CGI-ing just the eyes of the dog, which is interesting.
Oh, it's so gross.
There's a few times where it was okay, And then most of it was like, oh, yikes.
Whenever they tried to give them eyebrows, that was the weird one.
Yeah. Or whenever they bulged Nana's eyes, like when she looked at something and, you know, they like practically coming out of her head, they bulged them so much.
A little too wide.
But just a little.
So Thunderjack comes in and he offers to buy the dogs for $200 for the whole lot. But Betty, who is the bartender, and no, Barb. Why did I always think her? The entire time I thought her name was Betty. Barb, who is the bartender in town and takes a liking to Ted, comes in and is like, no, these dogs are all worth a lot more, especially Demon. They're Arctic Circle champions, except Nana, because she's just friend dog. So Thunderjack leaves, and Barb teaches Ted a little bit about caring for the dogs, shows him how they eat slump, which is a stew made of whatever goes in hot dogs.
There was an eyeball in it, right?
There was an eyeball in it.
I didn't see the eyeball, but I believe it.
It was gross.
Ted mentions he doesn't know his father, so he asks how many black guys are in town. And he meets Arthur, the one other black guy, and their conversation is, oh my god, you're my dad, and Arthur's going, oh my god, you're a dentist. Please look at tooth. He's not his dad.
Haha, he thought it was his dad, but it was actually teeth the whole time.
Teeth the whole time. There's a lot of...
I don't know about the dentist thing. Like, I kind of think that they could have just scrapped the dentist thing.
Completely? Yeah.
But yeah.
It's for the one thing. There's one thing that it's important for.
Oh, yeah,
for,
it is important for one.
Which doesn't really make sense, but...
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, okay, I got some stuff to say about that, too.
So Ted's like, I'm gonna leave. So Barb goes, your dad is James Johnson. Surprise, James Johnson is Thunderjack. Who's surprised? Not me.
I'm not surprised, and you're missing another funny guy fall down right before he meets his dad.
Honestly, like, if you just time out this podcast, like, every 3 minutes, it's like, oh, that probably would have been another funny guy fall down in the movie.
Yeah.
That also would have been.
There's a lot of that, and there's a lot of, like, where my wife and I would be like, oh, I bet you, like, this is going to happen. And then it would happen. We'd be like, oh, there it is.
Honestly, I thought there would be more farts.
A lot of burps. Not a lot of farts.
Not a lot of farts.
Yeah.
Thunder doesn't care that Ted's his son. He just wants the dog. So now Ted's like, I will race. And I completely did not realize that this was an Operation Make Daddy Love Me movie.
Surprise.
There it
How
is.
How about the... How about the you got something wrong with your head thing? That went on long.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe it was just like going to be a one or two. It was like six back and forths.
There's a lot.
And I laughed every time. I'm not going to lie.
There's a lot that, like, this movie could cut a little bit because it's like an hour 40 something minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised it made to the hour and a half mark.
Yeah, I have some ideas of where they could cut, but they haven't happened yet.
apparently, Brian Murray has come in last in the sled dog race 3 years in a row, to which Ted says, in Miami, three-time losers go to prison. Was that an OJ joke?
Yes.
Okay, good. I thought so.
All right.
It was a mix between OJ and... I'm trying to think of what I would have to look it up, but it's a mix of two jokes about three offenders and that whole thing. It's
gotcha.
I can't remember what the other one is, but OJ is definitely another reference to that.
That's what I figured. So we get a little more of Thunderjack being Ted's dad because earlier
He's
Ted
a
said
great laugh.
What, Thunderjack?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Earlier Ted mentions that he loves blue cheese, but his parents hate it. So, as he's talking to Thunderjack, Thunderjack just has a ton of blue cheese. And Ted just eats too much.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
It was so incredible. And obviously, like, having a whole conversation with him just eating blue cheese the whole time. That was the best. I thought it was such a weird addition, the whole blue cheese thing.
I think
so much of it in his mouth, man.
It was a huge brick that was like 3 bars of soap big. And I honestly, Cuba Gooding Jr., it's not a good performance, but it's a performance where he knows the movie he's in. And yeah. He's like, I will play to this level exactly and no farther. So it works.
There's some moments, though, like where you can really see what he does well.
Yeah.
What, Funny Guy Fall Down?
Yeah. Well, he's very expressive.
He is.
He is.
And there, some of the moments where there is like heart in this movie, I really felt for him.
Dogs get in the shaving kit. Oh, no. Makes Demon look like he's rabid because he has some shaving cream and toothpaste on his face. According to IMDb, the fact that he gets into the toothpaste is supposed to be foreshadowing, which isn't.
I guess.
This whole movie, from start to finish, is just littered with foreshadowing. And there's one that we skipped over that I wrote down, is that every single scene Thunder Jack is in, he like cracks his neck really weird. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, that's the thing that, Ted does in the beginning of the movie, too.
Yeah, but then it's weird at the end of the movie when Sisko does it. Yeah. And it threw me off because this whole movie is, like, set up, payoff. Like, everything is set up, payoff. And so when that happened, I was like, is Sisko's dad Thunder Jack, too?
Maybe it was sequel bait.
Is the neck thing a curse?
Oh, my God.
You know, Ted puts hay in his pants to taunt Demon. Okay. We get some...
What did he look like when he put on that? What did that... Anybody else see a big twerking minion? Or just me?
Yeah, he was wearing all yellow and he had the fat ass.
That big city butt.
You know, there's CG dog eyebrows and winking to signify chaos as Ted's trying to mush them and be a sled dog racer. Reminds me of a thing I did at scout camp where we would do a fake Iditarod every year. It would be like, a whole bunch of troops come to this one campsite and camp in the winter. And then we'll do the quote-unquote Iditarod where... Two or three guys are sitting in the back of the sled that you built, and then the rest of the troop has to run it like the dogs. I ran it 1 year, and you know what happened?
Did you fall off a cliff?
No, I got run over by my own sled. I tripped, and it ran me over, and they all turned around and went, "You good?" As they were going away, I'm like, yeah, I'm just never doing this again.
Yeah, that sounds about right for dumb summer camp ideas.
There was a stray golf ball that reveals a hidden VW bug, so Ted hitches it to the dogs. The dogs drive him around in the car. I wish that came back, because that was a funny image.
Yeah, I thought for a minute he was going to do that, that was going to be the way he raised the dogs.
Yeah. Also, bug in a Herbie movie, or bug in a Disney movie. I was like, it's Herbie. It's my friend Herbie, but it's not.
I thought it was cute that his car in Miami was green and that car was green too. I thought like a cute little, like, they thought about that, though, you know, connected.
But there's a skunk in the bug, so he gets skunked.
Do skunks live in the cold?
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
As a person in Rochester, where it gets really, really snowy, there's skunks everywhere, man.
Damn.
Barb and Ted have some talks, and they have a nice little scene at a campfire where he, like, appreciates the beauty of Alaska, and he's suddenly really into Alaska out of nowhere.
Yeah. She also kind of says that toilets are the reason for crime.
I wrote that down. You're right.
I watched this early this morning, so I was in and out, but like,
well, because he was like, he's talking about stuff that they don't have, and he's like, oh, we have indoor plumbing, and she's like, well, we don't have any crime.
Like, what a good straw man. Ben, yeah. Bart, yeah. Whatever your name is. God. This whole scene was funny. I realized, like, three things in that scene is, like, one, he hasn't done any, like, dog hating or dentistry this whole movie. Is, like, two, the every single one of the sets that they used looked like a set. And this scene really, really looked like a set.
Oh, yeah.
And then three is that they had to lav Mike everybody under coats. And I realized that just the audio throughout this whole movie just sucked. It was so, like, to me, I don't know if you picked up, but everything was just, like, blown out the whole time because they had to be so sensitive under the coats.
You can see it in the mouth movements, too. Like, everything looks a little off.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, it doesn't seem natural. So the next morning, Ted is really good at being a musher. And just wanted to say real quick that the tagline for this film was "Get ready for mush hour."
Well, that was it for me, guys. It's been nice.
Nice talking to you. So he's doing real well until Demon sees a fox and starts chasing, and Ted forgets the words for stop, which was hook and point.
Who cares? It's stop. Because he never uses it again, even when he says stop later. So it's like, it doesn't matter.
It's true.
Yeah, there was so many words in that explanation, too.
So he falls off, the dogs run away, and Ted meets a bear. Makes no reference to his nickname sometimes being Teddy Bear by his mom, so the joke is wasted. He escapes by jumping off a cliff onto another cliff, which also breaks.
Some acrobatics, like, through that whole chase that I don't know what purpose they served.
Entertainment.
Because it clearly wasn't Cuba.
Yeah, but...
So that means they hired a stunt double to do, like, all right, now you're running from a bear, you're going to do a backflip.
Yeah, he's got, like, an iconic run. Like I said before, like, an iconic walk. So when he's not doing that, you can really tell it's not him. I'm trying to decipher. Oh, yeah, I remember. The song that was playing when he was being chased by the bear, the whole song, if you, like, recall, it was, like, some tango, like, really upbeat tango.
Yeah.
The song is called Cuba on the Run. It's like, and I wanted to put a bullet through my head at that point. I was like, this is so stupidly on the nose. Like, there's Cuba and he's running, and he's the song on the run. You're gonna play is Cuba on the Run.
He hit that when he started sliding down on his stomach down the hill. All I could think of is, like, I did that skiing once, you know, minus the jumping to the cliff. I had fallen and I had. I was down, my face was pointing down the hill, and my skis were up above my head, so it wasn't like I could stand up, so I had to pop the skis out with the poles, and I got one, and then somebody came down, like, they were going to help me, and they were like, hey, do you want me to get that other one? And I was like, yeah, and I didn't think it all the way through until he had popped the ski off, and I was just going down the hill away from my skis.
You know, the second smaller cliff breaks, he falls onto some ice and does the standard, oh, it's ice, but I'm not going to go into the icy water, but I end up doing so. Oh.
You could really clearly say the lower rig in that, too. Like, there's a scene where it's, like, above him, and it's when he's sinking slowly into the water from the ice he's standing on. And there's just this big, like, sinker rig underneath him that you can, like, clearly see. And it's a shot they have for, like, 6 or so seconds. Enough for us to be like, what is that? Is that? Oh, my God. What the hell is that thing? And then, like, it went on and we were like, wow. It really held that shot for a long time.
Yeah, and there's so much, like, oh, no, he's going to fall into the ice. What's going to happen when he falls into the ice? He gets out immediately and is fine.
he just passes
out from being tired, and now we get the quote-unquote Kangaroo Jack used in all the advertising but isn't actually the movie dream sequence where animals talk.
Oh my god.
Jim Belushi's playing Demon. They're just like, you're not good at this, buddy, are ya? And everyone's laughing at him. The dogs are wearing sunglasses. He's on a beach. And earlier in the movie, Ted mentioned something about what if his father is white, because boy, does he like Michael Bolton.
Yeah, his mom ribs him about it.
Yeah. So we get my favorite image I've ever seen in a film. A giant floating Michael Bolton CD case, and Michael talks to him.
Man, I want to get so effed up that, like, I have a hallucination like this, man. I really do. Like, they have them in all these kind of family comedies. I want to get that messed up, man.
Yeah. Just once.
Just once.
Just once do I want Michael Bolton floating in a giant CD to be like, hey, it's okay.
Toss me a cookie.
A blue cheese cookie.
A blue cheese cookie. Like, everybody who's in his life is a giant for some reason.
Oh my god.
Like, he is small man, and Barb is, like, running towards him in a fur bikini, and she's, like, 8 feet tall.
She's in brown lipstick for some reason.
They really harp on Nana that whole scene for being a slut, too. I don't know if you, like...
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you'll roll over for anyone who pours you a bowl of slump. And I was like, oh my god, what is this? It's like out of nowhere.
Who is this for?
Don't shame the dog. It's a dog.
She's a good girl. Don't shame Nana.
So we wake up and Thunderjack has helped out Cuba. He's in a cave. And he's nursing him back to health, basically. Thunderjack still only wants the dogs, so Ted is like, I'll give you the dogs if you give me the story of me, Papa. Papa, how was I made? So Ted's like, ah, well, we were in a race, storm got bad, went to a cave, Lucy was here, didn't see her again.
Got that Nanookie, and then, you know,
there it is.
So she peaced.
So that's it. Ted goes back to Miami.
He believed it. He was just like, yeah, that must be it.
That sounds about right. This guy doesn't seem like he has any emotional connection. So goes back to Miami. He's cool with Chester now, the next door neighbor dog.
Chester is confused because they're not friends. They've never been friends.
Yeah, this guy is an asshole to him, but now he's fine. We get some more shots of the hot shot musher dressed as Venom.
I call him the ponytail loser.
His name is Olivier Dijon.
That Powerade son of a bitch.
Oh, the Powerade comes back to get him. Thunderjack mentions to Demon that it's probably going to be both our final races. Which, there's nothing that Demon shows that, like, would be his final race.
Yeah. It's, like, weird that, like... This whole movie it's named after them too. Like Snow Dogs, it's about dogs, like he hates dogs and whatever. There are like surprisingly little dog in this movie.
It's just some dog shenanigan.
Yeah, and it's barely any at that moment. Like he eats toothpaste and then we don't see him again until there's a skunk, and then we don't see him again and like he disappears after he falls in the ice. And then we don't see the dogs again for, like, a whole another 25 minutes.
Yeah, he hated dogs for 10 minutes, tops.
And he hated the one dog, and then the other dogs, he was just like, I'm afraid of you.
Yeah.
Super weird. So, Ted's trying to make his Miami apartment a little more like Alaska. He has the air conditioner all the way down. He's wearing a sweater. His mom comes in and is trying to help him unpack. And she drops a picture of Lucy, his birth mother.
Did I when I looked at that picture, I didn't think it the first time, but then they kept saying it and I saw it the second time, and she does look like him.
Yeah, she looks
good. And it made me think that, like, I stopped it to look at it for a second and I was like, I think it's the smile, and I bet that that had something to do with the call for that.
That makes sense.
For sure. Yeah. When they look for principal stuff like that, that's like a huge thing. Or it could have just been, you know, Cuba in a wig. Like
I was worried that it was going to be poorly photoshopped Cuba as lady.
You didn't. It, she didn't have enough like hot dogs on her forehead though. So I, you know, I don't
right.
So the picture breaks, and underneath there's a picture of Ted's birth, like right after Ted's birth, where he's in Lucy's arms, and wait a minute, Thunder Jack is there. He was with baby Ted. He just lied so he could get the dogs. Ted's got to go back to Alaska.
And he didn't look as good in the photo.
Nope.
No. This is a bad look.
He looked a little No Country for Old Men.
That Alaska look.
Yeah.
Down so, in the bush.
Everyone's bunkering down for the night during the Arctic Champion race. By the way, the race has started. And Jack refuses to bunk down because he wants to win. He wants to beat Olivier Dijon, who feeds himself before he feeds his dogs. And yeah, he's in a giant, ornate Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire tent eating crab legs and being French.
He gets docked 20 minutes because he didn't feed his dogs before he started eating.
But there's a storm coming. And Brian Murray is like, you don't want to go out there. I can't do his voice. I thought I would be okay, but I wasn't. But he wants to win his final race, but the storm's coming, and now he's missing. Oh, no. So Ted, who is now in Alaska, goes to look for Jack with the new lead on the team, Nana. Who's surprised? Not me.
Everyone was ripping on her too hard. I wrote down, Nana can be whatever the fuck she wants to be.
The second they were like, oh, this is Nana. She's not a sled dog. I was like, cool, she's going to be a sled dog.
Yeah, that was a funny buildup and payoff, you know. And it was, at this point, I'd stopped taking notes because, like, this is kind of sweet. Like, we were actually kind of invested in this movie.
Yeah.
It does have a good heart.
It does. It does. But how did he get from Miami to Alaska so fast?
Right.
And the first time he was in the airport going there, they said there was one plane leaving this month.
Yeah. I mean, he probably called George and was like, get plane now. Find Jack. And he was like, well, the storm doesn't affect me in the sky. Olivier ends up winning the race. And when they ask him what he's going to do next, he says, I'm going to Disneyland Paris, which, one, this must have been right after their name change, because they were Euro Disney for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And two, that's kind of a joke in itself, because Disneyland Paris was a huge failure until, like, 2010.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Oh, my God, yeah. The opening really of Euro Disney is a disaster. The French themselves didn't want it there. But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, there'll be a whole another podcast dedicated to just like 2001 to 2010 of Euro Disney.
Just the Michael Eisner era of the parks.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Yeah, they do tip over the Gatorade on him though, or the Powerade, sorry.
Yeah, I think the best joke in the movie where his handlers go to dump Powerade on him like it's the Super Bowl, but they're in Alaska, so it's frozen, so it knocks him out.
Yeah, so they kill him instead.
Yeah, they just freaking dome him.
I laughed really hard at that, and I don't know why.
So did I. I'm glad you enjoyed it, too. I thought it was the best joke in this whole damn movie.
It is. It's a dumb cartoon gag, but, like, it works.
It wasn't just Cuba Gooding falling down, you know? So it just, like, throw me a bone.
So, Ted's adopted mom goes to Alaska to find him, and she has a little heart-to-heart with Barb, and, Ted finds Jack in the cave that, you know, Ted and Lucy were in, or, Jack and Lucy were in, where Ted was conceived, and, so, Ted...
It's a nice moment.
It is. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not a nice moment. I'm saying that's the cave where he was conceived. Jack tells him that.
I was really riding this. I was like, Bryce, like you said, there was a while there where I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in this now. I'm feeling this. And it was like right up until this, I was like, okay, yeah, this is a really sweet moment. And then the dentistry happened.
Yeah, so we get more backstory on Jack. He was at the hospital on Ted's birthday, but they both decided they couldn't raise a kid. Jack loved Lucy. Lucy, He didn't know if it reciprocated or not. So Demon continues to be mad. And someone mentions he was chewing on his harness. So Ted's like, chewing on his harness? That means teeth. he has tooth issues. Dentistry comes in handy because human teeth and dog teeth are the same.
I guess.
He pulls out one small tooth from, like, under his tongue.
That was gross. That was a gross scene. Like, there's a lot of gross out parts in this movie. All involving teeth.
He doesn't even yank it. He just, like, gingerly takes it out like it's a game of Operation.
And the dog just lets him.
Well, because he bites the dog's ear. Because they tell him, hey, you might have to bite a dog's ear to show them that you're, you know, the alpha dog. And then when he does it, Jack's like, I don't think anyone was stupid enough to do that. And I'm like, was this real?
When I watched this movie with my brother and then my two other friends, one of my friends tried to bite his dog's ear to like gain dominance.
Oh no.
Was bitten by the dog. It was like the dog just like bit him back. And I was like, man, like, don't you remember what they said in the movie? They said the stupid people do that, you idiot.
So, you know, tooth good, demon good. Time to finish the race. But oh no.
Or is it?
Peril happens. Oh no, they're gonna fall off a cliff, but Demon and Nana work together and save them. Wow.
Demon and Nana puppets, really. It was like the whole thing was puppets. It was like two like sticks with fur on them that they just like were putting in the snow the whole time. That was it.
And do you know who built the sticks with fur? Jim Henson.
Oh, what? It's Henson Company puppets?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, man.
I'm not surprised. In the credits. I'm surprised, but I'm not when I actually think about when this movie came out.
I mean, I'm a little surprised because that's pretty... That, like, they didn't look great.
No, they didn't.
And, like, I don't know. Most Henson Company puppet... Most Creature Shop stuff is top quality.
Yeah. So... But when I saw that it looked like absolute garbage, I was like,
oh, come on, guy. Well, it was 2002. They were busy, I don't know, building stuff from Muppets Wizard of Oz, maybe, which isn't much better.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, that's not an excuse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they finish the race. They blow out the torch. What a surprise. Everybody has happy meetings and reunions all around. Ted and Barb kiss, and now they're married in Alaska.
He gets married in a turtleneck.
It's cold.
I think if you're wearing a turtleneck at your wedding, the wedding should...
When they kiss during that wedding scene, there's like this gross like spit trail between their mouths when they pull back. And it was like the icing on the cake of this movie for me.
Did not notice that. You know what I did notice, though? How Cisco is green screened into the scene.
Yeah.
Huh.
How it was weird.
Very obviously has completely different lighting.
Yeah. It was so strange.
It
was really strange. And that's when he cracks his neck and it like freaked me out. I was like, are you also?
Yeah. The second I had to rewind that scene like three times just to be like, what's wrong with him? But yeah, everybody's happy. Ted's adopted mom and Thunderjack like give each other a look. Which is weird.
Yeah, it is.
Super weird.
Hey, lady, you want to go to a cave?
Yeah, just like, no matter what. Thunderjack's like, no matter what, I'm your dad. Cut to unidentified time in the future. Betty is pregnant, and Nana and Demon have puppies, and they're cute puppies.
Aw, good puppies.
For sure.
And the last shot of the movie, which shouldn't be the last shot of the movie... is Hot Smiles in Miami is now run by Cisco.
It's so weird.
That's it.
And he has a dentist shop up in Alaska where the punks work for him.
Yeah. And he's making the same jokes as his dad did about like, how much will this hurt? More than a pinch, but less than filing your taxes.
Wow, they're so smart. They did the whole book ending. All goodness.
All good. And the first credit of this movie is very interesting. because it says it is suggested by the book Winter Dance by Gary Paulson.
I don't know.
Either of you read Hatchet in middle school?
Oh, yes.
Did read Hatchet.
Isn't that Gary Paulson?
I think so. I think now that you bring it up.
Well, Winter Dance, I was like, oh, that must be like a similar thing to Hatchet, where it's like, I have to go to Alaska to like meet these dogs and have a family connection. No, it's a nonfiction account of Gary Paulson and his wife in poverty racing the Iditarod.
Huh.
And like how in the end he has like a heart disease because of it or something.
What the hell?
The Wikipedia thing was so very sad, and I was just like, where does Jim Belushi come into all this?
Maybe they're supposed to be Lucy and Jack.
I guess, but that's it. That's Snow Dogs.
When he got off the plane the first time, before we were not doing Benny Hill, but we were close to it, and the wind was blowing us around, I was thinking, this should probably be a Christmas movie. And it's not. Obviously, that's not the direction they went. But I think if you scrap all of the dentist stuff and you set it, it's like...
And he's a toy maker.
You keep all the sled dog stuff. You keep it's like... You keep the father bonding. But you don't have the dentist thing, so you don't have anything that comes with it. You don't have the tooth thing at the end. You still build to the cave scene where he reveals some more stuff. And you don't have the cliff scene at the end.
Yeah,
you go right from the cave scene to like maybe that shot of him saying, oh, I've never stopped in the middle of a race. And then you have him crossing the finish line. You do that cute scene of everyone in the town running out of the church and whatever different thing they're doing to come see the race. We keep the blowing out the torch. And then we do like some kind of Christmassy thing where the puppies are.
So you want the end of this to be the ending of Lady of the Tramp. Lady and the Tramp.
I guess.
Okay. Well... With that, shall we move on to the criteria, which we do every week to compare this film to The Pacifier?
You bet.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
All right, first off, how's the soundtrack? I say unmemorable.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Cuba on the Run does not do it for me.
No, but Time, Love, and Tenderness at the end? That's yeah. A freaking bop, man. That was such a good song. It took me back. So no, but you're right. It is pretty awful soundtrack.
Not bad, but just like you just forget about it. The only song I remembered was Flight of the Bumblebee.
How can you forget Flight of the Bumblebee?
There were moments.
Next up, where does the main actor land on the Dieselometer, which is a ranking of Vin Diesel's performances based on charm and ability? The main actor in this is Cuba Gooding Jr. as Ted. I have one that's cheating. So, Cuba's cheesing the shit out of it in this.
Sure.
So, I was like, we need like a big Vin goofy to the camera smile comedy performance. What has he done on SNL? He's never hosted SNL somehow.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I cheated and said Taron Killam as Vin Diesel as Thumper in the live action Bambi trailer.
All right. I see you. I said Iron Giant. I went the other way with it. There's a lot of personal growth and figuring out the best place for yourself in the world in this.
He was like the polar opposite of what like my go-to for Vin Diesel like the whole time. So it's kind of hard to place him on the line. Like it's almost like the goofy parts of all of his not Fast and Furious movies, but the other car movies he's done, like like Wheelman and Hitman and Triple X and stuff, and all those, like, it's like that kind of goofiness without any of the badassery.
All right.
Okay.
Next up, did I like this as a kid, or would I have liked this as a kid? We kind of went over this in the beginning, but do you guys want to reiterate your answers?
I was all right with it as a kid, but I was not super into it. I think I like it more than I did then.
Oh, yeah, I think I like it more than I did then, too. And I love this movie as a kid. So, which is funny. It's just funny how much heart this movie had, and it won me over. I thought it was going to be just stupid. Every plot point we went over had like five or six stupid throwaway jokes the whole time. Like, and so it's just like, once you clear all that brush, it has kind of a lot of heart. So, yeah, I liked it more. And I would have liked it as a kid. I did like it as a kid.
I think I might have liked it as a kid if I actually watched it, but I remember seeing the trailer before Monsters, Inc. and being like, can movies be bad?
This was your turn-on movie to bad? Like, bad one of movies?
A lot of early 2000s Disney, something happened where I was like, this all looks stupid and bad. And then looking back, I'm like, dude.
You were that,
I get it, you're 9. You want to, like, act edgy and be like, Brother Bear is for dummies. But, like, it looks fine.
It's not. you were that episode of South Park. The end of the season. Where everything turns into the shit.
Yeah, yeah. Kinda. But now I've gone full circle and I'm just like, give me all of your dumb shit. Cats is a masterpiece of terrible.
I remember specifically as a kid that, like, I walked away from this movie being like, or like all four of us walked away from this movie being like, you know, they say hike instead of mush in Alaska. Like, wow, I know so much about Alaskans now.
Next up, what has the director gone on to do? So this was directed by Brian Levant. He directed Are We There Yet?, The Spy Next Door, A Christmas Story 2, and the Scooby-Doo live-action TV movie prequels where they're all teenagers, and Robbie Amell is Freddy for some reason.
I don't know anything about that.
And before this, he did both live-action Flintstones and Jingle All the Way.
Oh, man.
No.
Turbo Man.
This guy somehow did... He peaked in the 90s, and then in the early 2000s, he, like, went down, and then Are We There Yet hit, and that slapped. Love that movie.
Yeah, I do, too.
I remember loving it. It's been so long. Oh, that had the thing with, like, the deer kept kicking Ice Cube in the nuts.
Yeah.
Pinnacle comedy, man. Yeah, when I was like 11, that was it. I was done. I saw that, and I was on the floor.
Is there anything in this that's as memorable as the Peter Panda dance from The Pacifier? What do you guys have?
I said a surprising amount of the plot. I found myself a lot of times going, I know what's about to happen.
Interesting. I said scary Cuba head, baby. That might be memorable because of trauma, but it'll be there.
When he shakes his butt in the barn... And now if you pointed out that it looked like a minion, it's like, oh my god, like hell yeah. That almost is as iconic. It's not as life-changing as the Peter Panda dance, but it's almost there.
You can thank Savannah for that one.
Thank you.
Followed by, who is the Brad Garrett / Carol Kane insane memorable side character of the film? I said Cisco as Randall.
I think his name was Rupert.
It was Rupert. Why did I put Randall? It was early this morning.
No, it's all good. I said Demon. I thought Demon was the wacky, like, I don't know why, but, like, him eating the toothpaste, and he was biting the butt, and he was eating all the food, and then he told all the other puppies to, like, you know, oh, we're going to run real fast so he falls off. Like, that was the wackiness in this movie.
Hey everyone, two fake eyebrow raises and a wink means chaos.
I had the pilot, but I think I'm going to have to switch it to Demon.
All right. And finally, is there anything in this film that is as batshit insane as the Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier? Which, in case you don't remember, is a subplot that is about 2 scenes long. It is introduced with maybe 20 minutes left in the film. In it, the principal discovers a Nazi armband in Seth, the young boy that Vin Diesel's watching's locker, and the fact that he has bleached his hair. Everyone believes him to be a Nazi, so Vin Diesel gets on a children's bike and follows him to what he believes to be a Nazi rally. But it turns out it's just a rehearsal for a production of The Sound of Music, where Seth is playing Rolf.
With a 40-year-old Liesel.
With a 40-year-old Liesel, yes. You know, some weeks you don't want to say that, so they're like, ooh, I wonder how old his Liesel is.
The whole through line with the blue cheese there's not enough time spent on it. I want more because, like, that was so confusing to me the whole time. It was just like they set it up, it paid off, and then they just, like, kept bringing it up at the later half of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'd say that one for sure.
What do you got, Luke?
I say The Dream. Michael Bolton on a CD cover.
Yeah.
Asking for cookies.
Mine is 4 words long in all caps, and it is Michael Bolton CD case.
He gives some weird racial advice during that scene, too. It was, like, really strange. Yeah. He's like, oh, just because, you know, I'm white and you're black doesn't mean we can't like the same things. It's like, wow, that's a really contrived message. Thanks, Michael Bolton.
Thanks, Michael.
Like, we both have soul. I mean, look at me. God, I love how Michael Bolton has evolved into just a punchline, and he's always going with it.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years, and he's still a punchline, man. It's so great.
All right, and ranking and rating for this movie. Do you want to go first, Luke?
Sure. I give it 1 dog root canal and 15 blue cheese cookies. It's not better, but it's better than I remembered it to be.
I give it, I'm going to say 3 huge chunks of blue cheese crammed in a mouth out of 8. It's not as good, but it's, you know, it's nice. There's nothing offensive about it.
I gave it 6 heaping bowls of slump out of 11, or also 1 wet ass nanookie out of 2.
And would you say better, worse, equal to The Pacifier?
Worse. For sure worse. You know, the dogs, all of the dogs didn't do nearly as much as the duck in The Pacifier, so.
No, nobody's close to Gary. All right, well, that was our discussion on Snow Dogs. Thank you very much for being on, Bryce. And now it's time for Bryce to give us clues as we guess what our next movie we're going to watch is for next week's episode. It's time for the Coming Attractions game.
This is an all-time favorite of mine. And then it was an all-time favorite of my wife's. And now it's an all-time favorite of my kids. And we're getting to that time, spooky time. So it's going to make a comeback.
Okay.
So it's a spooky movie. A young girl goes on a vacation with her aunts to avoid being abducted by a tan man. She makes a new best friend along the way.
Tan man?
Need more hints?
Yeah.
All right. The Sanderson sisters have nothing on these 3
watches. Oh, no.
As our titular character tries to save the world from the forces of hell.
Wait, titular character?
Yeah. Not the Sanderson sisters movie. It's another movie with 3 witches that cause, well, 4 technically, cause a lot of mischief the whole time.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I don't think I know this.
Okay.
I thought I had it for a minute. This is good. And then I did not.
This is good because,
man, my heart was racing when you said Sanderson sisters because I don't want to deal with that.
Nah, man. No Sanderson sisters here. Even better. One of them is Shelley Duvall, and the next clue is a girl and the tormented soul of a dead child save the world. Oh, man, you guys are stumped. I love it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I have no idea.
The special effects in this movie are freaking out of this world. There's a scene at a baseball field where they think it's aliens, but it's actually ghosts. Should I get the people in the movie?
You said Shelley Duvall.
She's one of the three aunts who are witches. She does not say her famous "Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall."
Oh man,
which is a shame. But she does. She is like an avid antagonist, I guess. She really hates the internet. And when Hilary Duff and this pale white guy go on an adventure using the internet, she really, really hates it. And so do all the other ants. You get it?
Oh, now? Is this a very young Hilary Duff?
It is a very, very young Hilary Duff.
She's in red?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. Wow. Okay. Hilary Duff was the soul of a dead child. Okay. All right.
A little quiet there, Luke.
I still got nothing.
Do you want me to guess it, Luke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this Casper Meets Wendy?
It sure is Casper Meets Wendy. Oh.
I didn't realize Shelley Duvall was in that.
Me neither until I watched it again like 2 years ago, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, this is a great movie.
This is only a movie that I think I remember seeing on the small CRT TV in my local Dairy Queen.
The whole thing, like from start to finish at a local Dairy Queen.
I must have gotten blizzards enough in October for years that like I got it.
Hey, it was like give me another round of blizzards. Casper meets Wendy's on. we gotta go home. No. Hold on.
No, he hasn't met Wendy.
I think I only saw the first one.
Oh, man, well then you are in for a treat. This movie is awesome.
All right. Well, tune in next week for Spooky Highway Option or Boo Highway Option. The name has not been decided yet.
We haven't figured it out yet.
About where we're going to talk about Casper Meets Wendy with maybe a special guest. Who knows? thank you very much for being on the show, Bryce. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't. I'm really boring on social media, but if you want to follow me on Instagram, you want to follow my business, Porterhouse Video on Instagram. We do videography, my wife and I. If you want to follow me there, cool. That'd be great. We don't really pay attention to Instagram at all, but we're going to start doing that soon. So be there when it happens.
They do awesome stuff.
All right, cool. And first of all, just wanted to say thank you to everyone for listening. Right before we started recording this, we reached 1,000 listens. So that's a cool milestone, and wanted to thank you all for listening and telling your friends, and hopefully you continue listening. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. You can just give us the 5 stars, or if you want to write a review, you can. That helps us get out there and, you know, be seen by more people, be heard by more people.
Keep moving and grooving.
Yeah. You can follow all of our socials at No Highway Pod, YouTube, No Highway Options channel. The episode should be up there with the art that Luke makes. Is there anything else that's show related?
If anyone knows how to get in touch with the people who used to own Rafters in Amherst, Massachusetts, I'm looking for the recipe for Yukon Gold chicken wings. You know that. You've heard that the past several episodes. It'd be a good option to use that Highway Patrol tip line that we have for you.
Be sure to call us on the Highway Patrol tip line, which is our phone number. That is 301-941-7493. Or if you're the type that remembers words instead of numbers, 301-941-SIZE. And of course, special thanks to Ian C. Weber for composing our theme song. The C stands for crispy fried tofu in a garlic butter sauce. I don't know if that would be any good or not. All right, that's everything, I think.
I think so.
Okay, tune in next week for Casper Meets Wendy. Thank you very much for being on, Bryce. And as always, these have been our opinions. And if you didn't, well, For No Highway Option, I've been Connor.
And I've been Luke.
And I've been Bryce.
And as always, these have been our opinions. And if you didn't agree with them, that is too bad, because it is our way. No Highway Option. Man, this was like the one week I was like, cool, gonna barrel right through everything. And I forgot.
time for a special announcement.
Hey, Luke, what's some things you can do with a telephone?
If there was like a really mad goose in your house, you could hit the goose with the telephone.
Oh, or you could call in to your favorite Vin Diesel-based podcast. This one, we have a hotline now. 301-941-7493. Or, if you like to think about words, that's 301-941-SIZE.
SIZE.
It's SIZE because that's all Google Voice could give me when I wanted to find one that had a word in it.
It's because by doing these phone calls, you could help us increase our listener size.
There you go. Give us a call. Let's see if this experiment works. Again, that's 301-941-7493 or 301-941-SIZE.
Give us a call.
Okay, bye. The theme music for No Highway Option was created by Ian C. Weber. To hear more of Ian's music and see some of his videos and stuff, follow the new link in our show description. No Highway Option was co-created and co-hosted by Connor J. Burke and Luke Smith, and produced by Connor.